His excellency. His excellence. His excellence. I said His excellence. And it ought to be the excellence of Jesus that you see. That you really understand, that attracts you and draws you to Him. Is how excellent is this one called Jesus that is indeed related and showed to us in the context of Scripture. What's interesting in our context of Scripture this morning is that we think about a lion. We think about an animal that is ferocious, strong, imperial in his appearance. We think about the aspects of the beauty of this creature and who he is and what he is and the aspects of him. Well, when you think about a lamb, you think it's something that is more admirable because it's meek. It's like being a servant that shares its wool for making clothing. It gives of itself and sacrifice in many different ways over the years. And a lamb in itself is very weak and it's very lowly in its very nature. While we look at a lion, we see it from a different perspective. We look at a lamb, we see it from a different perspective. But yet, in our scripture this morning, we find that Jesus is referred to as a lion like a lamb. And a lamb like a lion. I want you to see His excellency. I want you to see the beauty of all that. That's what makes Him glorious. That's what makes Him appealing. That is why He is such a powerful aspect in the life of a Christian. It's because of His diversity, His diverse excellence that is indeed manifested to us. It did not come from the book. It comes from the heart of God, demonstrated in the real life of one born in a manger. 30-some years of His life, He did nothing but good, demonstrated the aspect of God's glory in every aspect of His eternal being. I admire Christ for His transcendence. He's far beyond any of us. There's no doubt about that. He's admirable in every aspect that draws me to Him. What really draws me to Jesus is His total submission to do the will of the Father who sent Him. I mean, I can't but humble myself when I think about Him there in Gethsemane, pleading with God that He wouldn't have to go and face the cross and take upon Himself the sins of all humanity. But not my will. Those words ring in my heart today. Not my will, but Your will be done, Father. Your will be done. I marvel at Him. He's uncompromising. There's no doubt about it. He's uncompromising in His very nature. But He's just in His temperament, because of His mercy. What makes Him tempered and like a lamb is His mercy. Justice is there, but He tempers that justice by His mercy. His majesty is sweetened, if you will, by His meekness. He was meek and lowly. He did not think it wrong to be equal with God. But He humbled Himself. And even to the point of becoming obedient to the cross to do God's will. I reverence that. I reverence that because when I look at Him and I see Him and know what He must have suffered on my behalf, it was all because He reverenced His Father. He loved His Father. He loved God. He came to do His will. He came to glorify the Father, and therefore He did it. Even though Jesus is worthy of all goodness and all good, He patiently suffered evil. Patiently. His sovereign dominion and power over the world is clothed with the spirit of His obedience. He baffled the people of His day. He baffled the scribes. He baffled them. They couldn't get to Him. They tried to. But there was no way He could do and way they could get through to Him. In fact, they came to a point where they made up their mind, we're not going to ask Him any more questions. He makes us look like a fool. But, as you think about that, He had the opportunity and He could have struck the Samaritans with lightning, but he refused to do it. The excellence of Jesus' glory is not a simple thing. He has such diverse qualities. He has such a diverse quality. There is no doubt about it. I don't care what you say. There isn't a man on earth, nor could have John revealed to us what he reveals to us about Jesus. What John reveals to you about Jesus in Revelation had to have come from the heart of God and was revealed through the Spirit to John to write what he saw. And what did he see? Well, he saw at the right hand of God a book sealed up. This book was sealed up way back in the book of Daniel. Daniel was giving the unfolding of God's eternal will. Daniel told us exactly what kingdom would be ruling the world when the Messiah was born. And he had more to say, but God told Daniel, seal it up until the end. Now we're having that seal, and the seals are going to be opened. The book is going to be opened that Daniel was not able to finish. And Jesus is worthy and is able to break the seals and to open it up. And he said, who in the world is worthy? Break it sealed. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book. That's what he said and the aspects of that. So when you think about it, I saw in the right hand of him sitting on the throne. And he began to weep. I mean, come on, nobody. But he said, behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David has overcome to open the book and its seven seals. Meaning perfect. I beheld the throne. Look at what he saw. The elders. I saw a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns. All authority had been given to him. Seven eyes. There's nothing hidden from his sight, which are the seven spirits he would fill with the fullness of the Spirit of God and was sent out into all the earth. A lion like a lamb. A lamb like a lion. That's what he saw. And who is he? He is the one who was slain. He is the one who is worthy. What's he worthy to do? To open the seven seals of the book of Revelation as it is here given to us. So I believe that you and I look at this today. I mean, it is to me so adverse that it's unbelievable. The aspect of seeing a lion like a lamb and seeing a lamb like a lion. Could you picture that? Can you even begin to picture it? A lamb is an animal that is weak and harmless and lowly and preyed upon. And whenever a wolf or a whatever would come upon a lamb, it would just lay over on its back and put up its feet and let whatever was going to happen, happen. It did not run. It didn't fight. It just laid its life down. Sheared, naked, if you will, for clothing. Killed for food. Christ is a lamb. But he's like a lion. The lion of Judah conquered because he was willing to be obedient to God. He came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, if you will, like a king on the way to a throne. But on that next day, Friday, like a lamb, he was taken and he was slaughtered. He drove out the robbers from the temple, like a lion, and then ended that week, if you will, like a lion of Judah being slaughtered as a sacrificial lamb. Note, if you will, if I can go back, the lamb is doing what? You don't see him laying as a hump, bloody mess laying on the road. You don't see him all cut up and no. You see this lamb who was slain doing what? What's he doing? Standing. Victorious. Standing to show that he has conquered. A lamb that has won. A lamb who has overcome. He is standing. Remember when Stephen was stoned to death? The Bible says that Jesus is sitting on the throne on the right hand of God. You know what it says? He's sitting on the throne on David's throne on the right hand of God. But when Stephen saw him, he was doing what? Standing. He's a lamb, like standing. Okay, and the aspects of that. He's not slumped over. He's not a bloody mess. Every aspect of it, he is standing. Do you get it, people? He is standing. Standing next to the throne. He has risen. He has declared victory. He's sitting on the white horse, ruling and reigning. He has the keys of death and hell in his hands. You get him? Do you see him? But he's a lamb. He's a lamb. A lamb with seven horns. Because God has given all authority in heaven and on earth to this lamb. And he is ruling and he is reigning until every enemy becomes his footstool. Imagine that. A lion-like lamb, because when you look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, it talks about men calling for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them and hide us. Hide us. Hide us from what? From the wrath of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? Then in chapter 17, verse 14, it says, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them because he is Lord of lords and he is King of kings. What is he to you? When you fix your eyes on Jesus, what do you see? Well, how do you behold him? Do you behold him in all of his glory as a lamb and as a lion? Do you see him as God's word portrays him to be? The Christ, who is a lamb-like lion and a lion-like lamb, that it's his glory, admirable. It is his excellency that should draw you to him. I don't know how you can reject him. I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't get anyone. If you really truly see him, and see him for who he is, as a lamb of God, as a lion of Judah, sitting on David's throne, your heart would just be naturally drawn to him, to worship him, to thank him, to praise him, to glorify him, to exalt his name above every name, as God has. But there never has been a name given from heaven by which man must be saved, but at the name of this lamb, this lion, his name is Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. This lion, this quality of meekness alone, now it's his meekness and humility that displayed his excellency. These qualities stand alongside his authority because he has it all. And there is no question about it. You will only become a part of God's eternal plan and element of kingdom, who has made us kingdoms and priests, when you commit and surrender your heart completely to his authority. It's time God's people stop mouthing Christianity. And it's time that we humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God and submit ourselves to this lamb, realizing that he's not just a lamb, he is a lion. He's a lion. Like a lion lamb, he calls to your heart today. I pray to God he can call to your heart today. He said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. You know how much fear is controlling people's lives today? Fear not. That's what he said. This lion, this lamb tells you as his children, as his people, fear not. I am the lion, I am the lamb, but I have conquered and I have overcome. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He says, we are more than conquerors through this lion-like lamb who loves us. We're not just we're more than conquerors. It's amazing how many Christians today believe Satan is overcoming them. They go around, oh me, oh, woe is me. Yeah, woe is you if you haven't submitted to the authority of the lion. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? There's no doubt we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Isn't that what the lion said? Isn't that what the lamb has revealed? That's what it tells me. Greater is he that is in us. Yes, that lion, like lamb, was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was led to a slaughter. And like a sheep, he was silent before his shears. And he opened not his mouth. But at that last day, he is going to be a lion that is going to come to judge the world. He's coming to judge the world. And when he comes, he's coming with flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died, was buried, and risen from the dead. Taking vengeance with power over every aspect of his enemy and those who have not obeyed God. Satan and the prophets are going to be thrown into a lake of fire and brimstone, and the lion and the lamb are going to do that. Revelation 14 says they're going to be tormented day and night in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb forever and forever and ever. I rejoice in his strength today because it's my strength. I said it's my strength. God has offered it to me. It's the power and authority he granted me when he filled me with his spirit. He did not give me a spirit of timidity. He gave me a spirit of power. God is able to build you far abundantly beyond what you and I even dream or ask through the power that is at work in us. People, we are winners. We're conquerors. There is nothing that can overcome you because of he who sits on the throne. He who humbled himself like a lamb and become the lion, or the lion who became a lamb. We rejoice in the tenderness and the meekness of this lamb, do we not? Huh? What did he say? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, come. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Come. May God open your eyes and my eyes this morning to the excellency of Jesus Christ. As a lion who became and is a lamb, and as a lamb who is a lion. To see it and see him in all of his glory. To see him humble and meek like a lamb, but to see him as it is powerful and ferocious and aspect of judgment. He is the lion. And may the power of that lion, if you will, be demonstrated in your life by the aspects of knowing the love of a lamb. Did you get what I just said? May the power of a lion be experienced in your life like the love of a lamb. And may our the faith becomes so unshakable that it doesn't matter any aspect of life, because your faith and your faith is fundamentally and foundationally built on who Jesus is and his excellency as the lion who is a lamb and a lamb who is a lion. And he has won, he has conquered, and he stands for you. Nothing can be against you. Not a thing. So I want you today with me to take courage. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today. A lot of stuff that only God has control of, you don't. And the sooner you realize that, the greater off you will be in your individual life. Is just say, give it all. Give it all. Give it all to the one who has conquered. Give it all. Give it all to Jesus. Every aspect of it. And take courage. And forever, gird yourself up in your faith and take strength, if you will, in the Lion of Judah. Find your strength in him. Just find that strength and find it. It's in him that you have the power to be and to fulfill the will of God. Find his love, find his humility, but find it in the Lamb of God. Find it in the love of God. Why find it in the Lamb of God? Because he is the only one that can take away your sins. He was slaughtered, beaten, bruised, crushed
for your iniquities.
You'll call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. He's the only one who can save you. There's no other Redeemer. There's no other Savior. There's no other one who paid the price that he paid in order to have your sins washed away. Amen? And when you come to him, you're coming to him as a lamb, slaughtered. And you're just looking upon him indeed as he is, a lamb who gave his life to you. If you're not a Christian, I don't know why you're not. I don't care what pagan god you think is out there. There's nobody, but nobody, but nobody, but nobody that can wash away your sins through the blood of the Lamb. And you and I will stand before a holy sin God someday because we've been washed, according to Revelation, in the blood of the Lamb, in white robes, redeemed because of the blood of the Lamb. And if you don't come and give your life to him and be washed in the blood, you will stand before him someday, before the judgment throne of God, and you will experience the fierceness of the lion who laid his life down for you, took your judgment for you, gave himself for you, so that you could, through him, by God's grace, someday spend eternity with God. What a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? The aspects of it. So if you're not a Christian today, and you know that Jesus Christ died for you, gave his life for you, then why don't you come today? Repent, turn your life to him. Do a simple act of obedience, even as Jesus did. He walked over 70 miles to Jordan to set you an example, to be baptized by John, to fulfill all righteousness. In obedience to his God, he set you an example. All you got to do is walk down this aisle. Give your life to a lamb who laid his life down for you. That's what he did. And someday, that lamb is going to come for you and present you to his Father someday without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's what his promise is. Amen. So let's stand together. We're going to sing this great Christmas hymn. I sing it all the time. I don't wait for Christmas. I sing it all the time. I can walk down the mall. I can be singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Can't you do that? Amen? Is it? Your heart filled with joy today? Huh? You love the lamb? Huh? You love the lion? Amen. Let's sing it together.